This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Bechdahl, good afternoon.
Hi, Con. Thanks for having me.
I'm talking with Bechdahl, partner at Nichols Family Law. And this week's topic, Bec, is going to be about everything you ever want to know about separating from your partner, but we're too afraid to ask. We thought we'd rope you in to do this.
Why not?
Now, before we go into that, the elephant in the room is AFL Grand Final was played on Saturday. Share your thoughts. you could talk about the pre-show entertainment if you want, or talk about the main event, which is a bit of a slaughter.
Well, the main event was a bit of a fizzle, wasn't it? I mean, you know, if you're a Lions supporter, amazing. But for the rest of us, but look, Katy Perry, not a fizzer, Con, not a fizzer at all. She won the day for me.
That was the highlight for you. You sort of said, right, that's good. Let's see how far this game goes. By about half time, you thought, nah, that's the highlight.
That's right. We could have done another Katy Perry concert.
AFLW, now we're in the thick of it. And I know last week was pretty much a busy one because obviously they had to fit in a lot of games in about quarters of 8 days. So where are we at? Because I know, okay, you love your law, but obviously AFLW and AFL is part of your DNA. So talk a little bit about where the season is at the moment with AFLW and your point of view.
Well, look, the thing with AFLW is we're in the middle of, you know, these condensed rounds where, as you said, teams are playing sort of twice in 2 weeks. And what that means is everything just takes on more meaning. So if someone gets injured, you know, it's not one game they might miss, it's two. If someone gets suspended, you know, it's more than 1 week. The wins are more important, the losses. So everything feels like a real pressure cooker with the AFLW at the moment, which, look, as a fan, is exciting to watch.
And, of course, let's talk about the Crows, Adelaide Crows. How are they doing so far?
Well, we're fourth on the ladder, Con. We just had our first loss for the season last week, but as always, wildly confident.
Good. Well, hopefully they continue momentum and who knows where it's going. Any feeling for the pick of the flag? Was it too early to tell for AFLW?
I think aside from the Crows, obviously, because I always hit with my heart, I actually think the Brisbane Lions might do what the men did.
Oh, really?
Their women's team's playing amazingly well, so one to watch.
All righty. Well, let's get, as I teased everyone just a moment ago about what we're talking about, let's lead into it. Okay, let's talk about the topic, Bec, and that's, I think, let's do it a different approach. We've done it in the past, we've done it a little bit different, but I thought this time let's do a rapid-fire Q&A on everything you ever want to know about separating from your partner, but we're too afraid to ask. Possibly the most, I'll say the least romantic topic around that we've ever covered. But I know for a fact we've had quite a few listeners over the past so little while who want to know those, answer those questions about what happens in those times when you're separating from your partner. So we thought let's roll it all into one with a kind of a rapid fire response interview. How you feel about that?
Look, I think it's great. I mean, obviously, look, this is can be a very serious, very sensitive issue for some people, but let's fire it, Con, and see what we can get done.
All right, let's start at the beginning. In a family law context, what does it mean to be separated?
Well, so being separated means the end of your intimate partner relationship. So whether you're married or de facto, it's the end of that relationship.
Okay, and how do people actually then separate?
Yeah, look, it can look different, I guess, for different people, but separation is when at least one person in the relationship decides to separate, acts on that, and tells another person.
And then, obviously, we've got the thing happening from the family law context, how do people separate, but how do you prove that you're separated then?
Yeah, and again, look, it can look really different because, as we know, all relationships are different, but the sort of things that, you know, usually show there's a separation are sleeping in separate spaces, not attending social gatherings together, separating your finances, and really starting to live independently.
And the other thing I've come to realise from the questions we get asked, separation date, is that an important thing and why?
Yeah, look, it is important to be able to say when the relationship actually ended because when we talk about the sort of who gets what in, you know, financial settlements, we do really look at contributions that people make during the relationship. And so knowing when the relationship ended can be really crucial.
Okay. And how far do you go about letting people know? Obviously, you're going to have a circle of friends and family, and it could be colleagues you may mention to them. What is it that you need to be aware of about talking to them about? Obviously, you need to do it in your own time, in your own comfort. This had to happen to help prove that you were separated?
Well, look, sometimes, you know, when we do have situations where people disagree about whether they're separated or not, which probably sounds a bit strange, but yeah, it does happen. And in those sorts of situations, it can come up, you know, whether people told outside people, but really there's no obligation to tell your friends or family that you're separated. You tell them when and how you feel comfortable.
And when it comes to having kids, do you tell them? And I suppose its question is, obviously you do it sensitively and see how it goes, but where does that lie? Do you need to tell them?
Yeah, look, again, it's up to parents what they tell their kids and when and, you know, how much. And look, most people wait until the parents are comfortable to do so. And look, some people even will go and see a psychologist together to get some advice about how to best tell their kids. So it's really parents kind of taking that role and deciding how to do it best for their children.
Now, another question that we get asked about separation is, if you're living together and separate, does one person need to move out?
No, look, I mean, generally they do, but you can be separated and living under the one roof, which a lot of people do for financial reasons, their children, other reasons. But, look, both people are entitled to stay in the house after they separate.
But that could also be sensitive because then you may have a ex that refuses to move out. So in that situation, what happens?
Yeah, look, there are circumstances where that happens, and in some cases people file in the court for an order which requires people to leave. Now, they're usually reserved for exceptional circumstances, for example, when there's family violence. But often people do need to sort of mediate that situation and work out where they're both going to go and where they both can go, I guess.
So even if you own the place, you obviously may not be able to make them move out.
That's right. I mean, look, in most situations, in the absence of, I guess, a legal document like a court order, you can't actually force people to leave.
Now, something else that obviously is something deeply serious and obviously we've got to sort of respect it is, what happens if family violence is involved?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's, as we know, completely unacceptable. And look, if there is family violence, then there's a couple of options. People can get those orders I talked about through the court, but often people will apply for an intervention order, which we've talked about before. And as part of that intervention order, the person may well be prohibited from being near you. And in that situation, we'll have to move out.
We're chatting with Beck Dial, partner at Nichols Family Law, about everything you ever want to know about separating from your partner but were afraid to ask. We're doing a rapid-fire Q&A session. Now, moving on to moving out, and we're talking about family violence, but also financial aspects of separation. What happens to things like bank accounts, access to funds, etc., when you separate?
Yeah, look, usually when people separate, if they have shared finances, they're likely going to remain shared until they can come to an agreement about who gets what. But look, each case will vary and, you know, some people don't have joint finances at all. But, yeah, look, it's often that people will sort of leave things where they lie until they can work out a solution.
Now, the other thing, it's always a concern, is if someone has more sort of control over those finances, there is a concern that that sort of doesn't play a fair in terms of access to money after separation. So what happens in that situation?
Yeah, look, it's a really tricky one. And in a lot of cases where, you know, assets are being controlled by your partner, it can be financial abuse. But look, either way, it's really important people seek help and guidance if they're having difficulty accessing funds from their ex-partner when they separate.
Now, another thing that came up was, I understand that in some cases people will need to get legal and other help and advice, but what about the situation where one person decides to or needs to leave the shared home immediately and they don't have any access to any of the bank accounts, etc., because they are all in the other person's name and the other person refuses to give them any money? What can be done immediately in this situation?
Yeah, look, as I said, it's really important to get legal advice, but the time frame for when we can get access to money can vary. And so there's some other things people can think about in these situations, like crisis accommodation, government rent assistance. There's some really good family violence flexible support packages. So there are some sort of immediate services that people can access if they need to on the way to perhaps getting legal advice or other support to get their money.
That's good to know. And now if a shared couple have bank accounts, which obviously they may likely have, and have shared their approach to other financial things, so it's, you know, they may have shares, or they may have a super fund, property, maybe they've got a bit of art on the wall or whatever, are there any rules to stop your ex from running off the lot, maybe spending it big on a holiday or maybe gambling it away?
Yeah, look, the total of what people own, their assets and all their debts, is what we call in family law the property pool. And that's what we divide up from people. But look, if your ex-partner starts spending money from that shared pool, there are ways that we can ensure that that's taken into account when deciding who gets what in the long run. And look, there's protections in place that really make it far less attractive for people to, you know, throw money off the St. Kilda Pier or whatever it might be. And you know, they're often cutting off their nose to spite their face in the long run. So,
okay. All right. We've got one more question on separation that's come our way. We've got enough about the money side of things, but on other more important things, who gets to keep the pets in a separation?
Yeah, look, I mean, as sad as it is, but the law in Australia says that when it comes to separation and divorce, family pets are property. So just like the car or, you know, your car or your phone. So look, there's lots of things that people look at, like who purchased it, who cares for it, who feeds it, who pays its insurance, all those sorts of things. But look, some people continue to share their pets as they separate, you know, like they might with their children, they might be between each partner. So pets can be very, very important.
All righty, that's good to know. Now, sometimes people say a bit of a romantic, I may be, or possibly just a little bit naive, I'm thinking. My last question about separation, although I did say the previous one was going to be the last one, can a couple change their mind and get back together again?
Yep, as many times as you want, Con.
Okay.
The path of true love doesn't always run smoothly.
No, we know that for a fact. I think we all know someone who sort of has gone through the trials and tribulations, separation, then come back together. Let's move on to divorce, but that's another thing that people want to talk about. Okay, they're in a situation where they're going to look about it. So let's have a few quick questions about divorce. Start with easy. What exactly is divorce?
It's the legal end of your marriage.
And how do you people go getting divorced? I'm thinking that obviously being legal means you have to bring something in that makes it very legal to get divorced.
That's right. So you have to apply for a divorce through the Federal Circuit Court and Family Court of Australia.
Now, the other thing I'm thinking about that is going to involve potentially needing legal representation. Do you need a lawyer to get divorced?
For the divorce itself, look, the short answer is no, but it's always good to get some advice and make sure that you're doing everything properly and you're not taking risks that you don't need to.
And here you are, you're sort of applied for divorce through the Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia. When does it become official?
So a divorce is finalised 1 month and 1 day after the court grants it, unless there's some special circumstances to bring it forward.
And another question that's been asked of us is, do all financial aspects need to be decided and everything divided up before the divorce is final?
No, not necessarily. So once people are divorced, there's a time limit of 12 months to finalise a property settlement if you need to bring a claim. But lots of people get divorced before they finalise that.
Good. Chatting with Bechdel, partner at Nichols Family Law, about everything you ever want to know about separating from your partner, but we're afraid to ask. The other thing I wanted to find out is what we're sort of looking at is responsibilities the other person. Once someone's divorced, what does it mean with responsibility the other person has and are they completely over?
Yeah, so not necessarily. There's obligations that can continue after separation and divorce. There might be financial obligations or if people have children, there's, you know, jobs that parents have to do and responsibilities that have to be met. So the divorce is the legal end of your marriage, but there can be other things that, you know, need to be dealt with after that.
And another one, this is a bit of a theme I'm going to have, another hopeless romantic and naive question from me. Can and do people remarry the person they divorce, and how common is this in Australia?
Yeah, look, it's not that common, but it does happen. It's completely legal. You've got to fulfil all the legal obligations. But sure, if you want to have a second wedding to the same person, absolutely go for it.
Good. All righty. Well, almost the end of the questions. Gosh, we've got quite a few of them, and this is great. I love this rapid fire round, Beck. Hopefully you're enjoying
it. I'm in. I'm loving it.
You're loving it. Good. Okay. Well, coming to the end of the questions, here's a final few. What about annulments? Now, I've heard of divorce, I've heard of separations, and I've heard of annulments. How different is that to a divorce?
Yeah, it's quite different. So an annulment's when a judge decides that people weren't actually legally married and so the marriage is void. So often there are situations where it's discovered after the marriage that one of the couple is already married, someone was underage, or the marriage was entered into under duress.
Okay, and can anyone request an annulment?
Yeah, so either of the married couple can request an annulment if they think they've got reasonable grounds for it.
And when it comes to annulments, how long would that take to come through?
So once someone's been served with an annulment application, they've got 28 days to respond. And then after that, it goes through the court process for them to make a decision based on the evidence.
And another question that came in about annulments, is your former spouse contacted as part of the annulment process, and do they need to know that you are seeking an annulment?
Yeah, they do. They need to be served with the documents, with the application for the annulment, so they know what's happening. You can't just do it without their knowledge.
And in instance, a spouse refuses to participate, what happens?
Yeah, so look, if they refuse to participate, the court's going to hear the matter without them, as long as they're satisfied that the other person was properly served with the application and they know that it's happening, they can go on and hear the application without them.
Gosh, okay. We've covered it a lot. Thanks, Beck. I just sort of say you did really well. I thought, okay, let's do a rapid-fire round of Q&A, and we covered quite a lot.
I know, we're going to have a lie down after that. Oh,
you're
exhausted.
Just check out what's happening in the AFLW. Thanks for joining us on Joy Drive this afternoon, Beck.
No worries, Con. Great to chat to you.
That was Beck Dahl, who's a partner at Nichols Family Lawyers.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.